Blog Talk Radio.
God will break you to position you, break you to promote you, and break you to put you in your right place. But when he breaks you, he doesn't hurt you. He doesn't, when he breaks you, he doesn't destroy you. He does it with grace. Ah! Anybody been gracefully broken where? Ooh! Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So, Father, tonight we're broken before you. Thank you for handling us with grace. Your worship right there in this moment. God, arms wide open. I'm right here, pouring out my life, gratefully.
He leads me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. When you become a believer, your spirit is made right. Sometimes, the soul doesn't get the notice. It has a hole in it due to things that's happened in the past, hurt, abuse, molestation. But we want to speak to you today and tell you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. Some people's actions are not because their spirit is wrong, but it's because the past has left a hole in their soul. May this wisdom help you get over your past and remind you that God wants to heal the hole in your soul. I have my sister Leandria here. She's going to help me share this wisdom and tell this story.
Deliver me, 'cause all I seem to do is hurt me, hurt me.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. People of God, first give honor to God, who's the head of my life. Welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. It is Women's Day Thursday, and I'm super excited about the woman of God that's coming on this morning. The scripture for this morning is Proverbs 31 and 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at days to come. Again, Proverbs 31 and 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. Father God, we ask you to come on this show this morning and have your way. Speak through the woman of God to your people, not just the women on today, but the men too. Have your way on this line today. Continue to guide us and show us which way to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Definitely want to give a shout out to all the countries that's listening in. The reason why we do this, because we don't know what they're dealing with on that side of the globe. We can pray and talk to God openly over here, but overseas, they're not able to do that all the time. Shout out to the United States, of course, Paris, Japan, South Korea, India, Ireland, Portugal, Jamaica, the Netherlands, Canada, United Kingdom, Mexico, Russia, Bulgaria, Germany, Hong Kong, China, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Kenya, Nigeria, Ghana, and Brazil. Thank you guys for tuning in on a daily basis. Know that Apostle and I are praying and interceding for you, and every other speaker that come on here is lifting you up in prayer. You're not in this fight by yourself. Continue to hold on to God's loving hand, and I'm telling you, it will get better. It looks rough right now, but don't look with your regular eyes. Look with your spiritual eyes and continue to trust and believe in God. Know that you're going through this storm for a reason, but the storm will not last. Remember, God said have faith the size of a mustard seed. He never said you won't go through. You know the scripture from Job when he told the devil to try his servant Job because he knew Job was faithful. Continue to listen in. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer. This is the No Judgment Zone. We do not care about what you did last night nor this morning, but we do care about your soul. If you don't know this man named Jesus, let us introduce you to him. You guys have a blessed day. Hold on. We're going to a musical break, and we'll be right back.
Brought your burdens, brought your pain, but I have a message for you today, that when you leave here, won't be the into your position. Look at you, there's been no change in your condition. Reach out and touch the master's robe. There's healing for your mind. Oh, your body and hallelujah. God can heal.
God can heal.
Oh, yeah.
He can heal.
And he can mend a broken.
He can mend your broken head.
He has
the miracle.
Oh, about your situation, but with every test and every trial, there is revelation that God is able to supply every one of your needs. He's here to touch and heal you. That you'll have your healing. Once God works a miracle to fit your needs, go tell the Lord, oh, what you have received. Hallelujah.
Lord,
mended my broken.
He has mended my brokenness.
Give me a miracle.
Give me a miracle.
Just to fit
my needs.
Can I get a witness in here? Let me lift your hands and say.
Gospel Connection, where your host is Pastor Kashima Douglas, and my guest today is Miss Calloway's coming on. Get your pen, your paper, get your Bible together. The woman of God have a word just for you from God. Remember, everybody need encouragement. Even the strong need encouragement. That's why we come on here, to encourage you. You're not in this fight by yourself. Keep holding on. Keep pushing through, and don't give up. Good morning, woman of God. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Good morning. Good morning, Ms. Calloway. The floor is yours. I'm going on mute. I'm ready to eat. So let the Lord use you this morning.
Okay. Amen. Blessings to you, Pastor Kashima. Good morning and blessings to all of the listeners that has joined in on this morning. First, giving honor to God, my Lord and my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I am blessed. I'm excited to be online this morning. So I give reverence to my Apostle Winston Cooper and Professor Jay from Mouth of God, Pastor Jean Adams, First Lady Adams over at Eruption of Glory, and my spiritual mother, Bishop Tanya Carney, and to each of all of you, families, members, Christians, and friends. So today I'm going to be coming from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and my topic is to be all in with God. Not ankle deep, waist deep, but to be all in. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day, a day that we've never seen before and a day that we will never see again. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Protect us, Father, from all hurt, harm, and danger, Father God. Forgive us for everything that was not pleasing to you, Father God. Father, keep us from all evil. Sanctify us through your word of truth. Let your word have free course in my life. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus. Strengthen me with might by your spirit within the inner man. Let Christ dwell in my heart by faith, and let me be rooted and grounded in love, and let me comprehend with all the saints where the bread is and the length and the depth and the height of your love. Let utterance be given unto me that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let me stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. Father, I ask that you speak to me now and remove me from self. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, Lord, make your word our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. For the sake of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we all say amen and amen. So today we're going to be talking about to be all in with Christ. And coming from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it reads, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's with an S. That means more than one way. Hallelujah. Sometimes we think the easiest way is God's way. And because we think like that, we base our decisions on how things are working out, how things are going. And if it's easy, if it's flowing, if everything is working out for our good, then it must be of God. But if it is difficult, if it's hard, if it seems though we are encountering roadblocks, where would we turn? Many times we feel that it's not of God. Sometimes with things that look good, we later find out that it was not of God. Something may look so right that yet we can be deceived. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Trust in the Lord. We see a cause and an effect with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. That's a cause and an effect relationship. If you trust the Lord, then he will direct your path. My God, I am helping myself. We have to be directed by God. What has to be directed by God? There are three areas that has to be in an alignment with God for us to be headed down the right path. So I think we all want to know where to walk or what to do. So we have to be directed by God. You must be directed by God through your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust the Lord with your innermost being. Attach yourself to the Lord. Find safety in the Lord. It's a feeling that is relaxed because I know that God is in control. Embrace your hope and your confidence in the Lord because you know him. And because you know him, you know his character. And because I know his character, I can trust in him. I can trust in the Lord. I can put my life in his hands because I know he is trustworthy. And for those of you that don't know God, when there is no relationship, will have a hard time placing their trust in him. In Proverbs 28:26 tells us that he who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. There are too many people today that are trying to put their trust in themselves or somebody else other than trusting in the Lord. And you cannot trust your own heart because your heart is desperately wicked. You have to trust in the Lord, not out. You have to be in a covenant with God. You have to have a relationship with God. You have to talk with him. You have to be with him. You have to wait on him. It's a relationship. It's not, oh, I'm going to do what I want to do, and he's going to pour into me. No, this is the relationship. You, in order to put your trust in God, you have to know him. You have to have the relationship. I know some people always say, when there is no trust, you have nothing. You can't do anything without trusting in the Lord. So I say, you have to trust in the Lord. And when you trust in the Lord, you're being wise and you will be delivered from every situation. Not only must you have to have the heart, but you have to have the word of God. Let's look at the word lean. Lean speaks of, let me see, how can I put this? Supporting yourself, resting on yourself, or placing confidence in yourself. But Solomon is putting this in a negative, telling us that we are not to rest or place our confidence in ourselves, in our own intelligence. Why? Because we'll always see things as they are, but God knows the end from the beginning. He's been here since the beginning. God knows everything. He's all knowing. Nothing goes past him. So when we can't lean on our own understanding, God gave us his word in making the right decisions. We don't have to rest on our own intelligence. I rest on working through us according to his word. Remember what the Lord told us through Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising love, kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. And in this I delight, says the Lord. So I've got the glory in the Lord. He wants us to know him. He did that by giving us his word. And Psalms, it tells us that your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So God directs our path. God's word helps us to see when we travel through the darkness of this world. You need God's word to direct you through seasons of uncertainty. Lord, direct me. Order my steps by your word. Let not iniquity have dominion over me. God directs our steps as we apply his word. God directs our steps as we read his word. Lord, I put your word in my heart, and I want your word to guide me and direct me, and his spirit flows through me as he guides us through this tedious journey. You see, when you lean to your understanding, you're going to find yourself in a terrible situation. You can't use your own intelligence when you're walking somewhere you've never been. You can't use your intelligence when you're going somewhere you've never gone before. But as we go through life, we are on a journey. That's the idea behind the word. As you are on your journey, acknowledge him. You say the Lord, Lord, I look to you. Lord, I depend on you. Lord, I am leaning on you. That's why Jesus informs us not to worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. You have enough trouble today that today needs to have all of your attention. So today I acknowledge the Lord as I journey through this day. And Lord, teach me that when I get in a situation today, you will show me what to do. When I get sick, he will be right there for you. When I get broke, he'll show you how to get out. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will be right there with you. So I acknowledge you this day as I journey through this day. Life circumstances get tough and difficult, and it causes us to take our eyes away from God. Don't let your sickness take your eyes away from God. Don't let your brokenness, your frustration, your depression, your family problems, your church mess, your divorce, relationship, your children who you brought up in church, and all then when they grow up and act like they don't even know God. Because when you take your eyes away from God, you lose the perspective of the situation. And you cannot do that. You have to let the peace of God that surpasses all understanding flow through you in every situation. You have to learn how to look above your circumstance. You have to learn how to look at your situation through the eyes of God. Am I helping somebody today? Okay, so let's look at Elisha and his servant. The king Aram was at war with Israel, and every time a battle plan was made out, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of the passing, the place that caused the Arameans are going down there. The king of Aram gathered his soldiers because he thought there was a spy in the camp. He said, tell me which one of us is on the side of the king of Israel. One of his officers said, none of us, my lord, but that's Elisha, the prophet who's in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So God was giving Elisha the enemy's plan against the children of Israel. So because of that, the king of Aram said, I know what to do. I'll get rid of Elisha. He said, go and find out where he is. They came back and told him he's in the city of Dothan. So the king sends his army to surround the city. The next morning came, the servant got up and went out. And he seen that the city of Dothan was surrounded by an army with horses and chariots. But he just knew everything was over. He just knew that this was the end of his life. So he said, no, Lord. Oh, Lord, what shall we do? So Elijah answered, don't be afraid. Elisha understood. He could see it from the eyes of God, and not from the eyes of his physical eyes. Something like when you're walking by faith. Faith, if you don't know what faith is the most hands-on training of this verse that we're talking about. If you don't know what faith is and you want to learn what to do and where to go, it's all in Proverbs, and it's in 3, 5, and 6. So Elijah says, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elijah saw something that the servant didn't see, which gave him a peace during this calamity. So Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he might see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And when he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to fear. My perspective is different. I see it different because God is greater than he that is in the world. He saw different because he had a relationship with God. And when you know who God is, when you know his character, you will understand that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You will understand that God will always be by your side, no matter what the situation is. Understand that God loves you and he's in control of our lives. Why should I fear? Why should I worry? Why should I fret? Because there are more for us than more that are against us. Lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him. And you'll remember, you'll discover that God is greater than any problem. He is greater than any sickness, any lies, any brokenness, any money problems, any situation that you are dealing with. He is greater than that. So don't look at it from the human's perspective, because I got my eyes on the hills on which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's the man with the plan. He'll make your crooked way straight. He'll turn everything out for your good and for his glory. You can have peace in the middle of the storm. You can relax in his arms when you see everybody else losing their minds. So when you have a correct relationship with the Lord, if I trust in the Lord with all of my heart and lean not to my own understanding, in all of my ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. It didn't say he might think about it or I'm gonna just do it. No, he's gonna do it, because he's a father that always look after his children. He's a father that never gives up. He is a man with open arms, and he wants to do it. My God, he wants to put us on the right path. He doesn't want us going down the road of destruction. We send our own selves to hell. He don't want none of us going to hell. Hell is not even for us. He don't want us going down the road of destruction or dead end. He wants to see everybody win. The path of life won't always be easy. God promised us that he will always be there, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. All we have to do is put all of our trust in him, acknowledge him, and lean on him, and he will direct our path. So today I leave you with, make a declaration to be all in. To be all in. Why? Because he kept you before. He brought you out of darkness before. He, when you was laying there almost dying, he healed your body. When you was in the hospital and they told you that you can't walk again and you're walking today, you are a living testimony to somebody else. So be all in, because he done it before. And if he done it before, he'll do it again. And that is my message. And I pray that this message helps somebody. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. What a powerful word. God, order my footsteps. People have to understand, when you say that, you must mean that sincerely from your heart. God said it. He never said, I say this all the time, he never says from Genesis to Revelation that it's going to be easy. He never said that. Once you surrender your life to Christ, nothing is easy. I thank you for coming on here, giving that word right on time. If it didn't help anybody else, know that it helped Pastor over here. And I thank you for being obedient to his word and giving less of you and more of him. I thank you for that. Father God, I ask you to give back what your daughter gave out this morning. You know her needs and desires, Lord. Continue to cover her and her family, Lord, and her sons in the name of Jesus. We know that the enemy is on a warpath, but we know when there's two or three, you're in the midst. We bind and rebuke what he's trying to attempt to her and her sons in the name of Jesus. You said that we are daughters of a king. We're royal priesthood, mm-hmm. and we're beautifully and wonderfully made. As you continue to guide the woman of God in the direction that you want her to go and continue to protect her. I see a season of open door for her, Lord. You know the needs. You know her desire. And ask you to bless her tremendously for being obedient to you and not man. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woman of God, let the people know how they can contact you for that wonderful food. She's a chef. Everybody, if you need a chef in the Houston area, reach out to her, and she might travel, depends on the cost. Now, you want good food, you will have to pay some correct prices. Don't try to shortchange her because she is phenomenal. Let them know how they can reach you about your business and everything.
Yes, so I cater. You can reach me on my Facebook page, Xia Xian Callaway. That's capital X-I-A, capital X-I-A-N, Callaway, and my Instagram as well. You can inbox me. I'm a certified braider. I teach children on third Sunday. So if you're looking for like a Sunday school teacher or ministry, you can contact me on Facebook.
Okay, again, thank you so much for coming on. If you guys didn't get that, excuse me, reach out to me. I would definitely connect you with her. I didn't know you were certified braider. See, you didn't tell me that, but that's all right. I'll get on you later about that right now. But again, thank you for coming on. I'm so very proud of you for pushing through. I know it was warfare just to come on here to give that word, but know that you helped somebody today. Know that you have somebody today. Apostle, I'm so very proud of you and cannot wait to have you back. We're going to go to a musical break, and you guys remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, or if you need prayer, you're not in this fight by yourself. As we say all the time, this is no judgment zone. We're not here to judge you. We're here to encourage and inspire you.
Against your home, the enemy came up against your children, the enemy came up against your name, the enemy came up against your character. You will win, win, you will. The enemy came up against your health. The enemy came up against your finance. The enemy came up against your vision. The enemy came up against your business. You will.
do what he wants to do in this place. God told me that I'm going to send some people into the room who've been sitting on something they need to be carrying. It'll make sense if we get to the message. But I hear God saying that I'm sending some ideas and some businesses and some books that somebody's been sitting on. Somebody's been sitting on it. They've been laying on it. And I want them to know that it's time for them to start carrying it instead of sitting on what God gave them. It hit me like a ton of bricks when I was studying. I'm going to get into the text. It'll make sense, and we'll get there, and we'll pray, and we'll go home. John 5 and 6. This is not an unfamiliar text, but I saw something when I was studying that I think is going to speak to where we are. And it begins, it says, when Jesus saw him is this man who has been paralyzed and sitting by the pool at Bethesda. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus says to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. That's important because that means in order to heal him that Jesus broke some rules. And that's important because he shouldn't be carrying anything on the Sabbath. But when God calls you to start carrying what you have been sitting on, it doesn't matter what the rules and the boundaries think about it. It says, the Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he answered them and he said, he who made me well said to me, take up your bed and walk. In other words, I don't have to have authority that you understand because Jesus said something to me that overrules anything that you could say. So, Father, I am asking that you would continue to sit in this room. Great God that you are living water. And when we drink from your well, Father, we never thirst again. God, we need a sip from your well. Somebody came in tired. We need a sip from your well. Somebody came in broken. We need a sip from your well. And Father, when we sip from that well, victory is our inheritance. And so, Father, we declare victory in this room because when you are in the room, there is no lack. God, I'm asking that you would meet every need, that you would identify every crack in that with your spirit you would fill us until we have been made whole, ready to pick up our beds and walk. As for me, Father, you can have complete control. If you want to change this message and change this text, you can do just that because I am here to serve you so that these people can be made well. So let there be no fear, no anxiety, no being in my head, just your spirit, your strength, your power standing tall in me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, I can remember when I was growing up and I thought that I was like grown when I turned 18. And because that's what the law says legally at 18, you're an adult. What I didn't know is that you're not really an adult until you pay bills. And I mean all of them, not that one little Nokia bill so that you can continue to play Snake on your phone. You pay all of your bills. And I didn't really understand that fully until I had moved out on my own and rent kept coming up short, you know, because I didn't have everything that you needed to have to stay there all of the time.
And I can remember, I remember the last time I asked my mother for money because she hit me with one of those country sayings. And she said, only a fool buys what they want and begs for what they need. So did you just call me a fool, your child? Yeah, she said, only a fool buys what they want and begs for what they need. And it was from that moment forward that my paradigm shifted on want versus need. Because if you are not careful, you will think that something you want is actually something you need. And you have to qualify your wants versus your needs. Do I really need that? Is it going to sustain my life? Is it going to make me better in any capacity? Does it get me closer to my destiny, or do I just want it? And until we are willing to sacrifice what we want so that we can have what we need, we will always find ourselves stuck between where we are and where we could be. Because there are moments in life that simply require that you sacrifice what you want. When we find this man at the pool laying, waiting to be healed, he has an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus asks him, do you want to be made well? And he says back to him, I need someone to take me over to the pool, this notion of want versus need. I love this because as I was reading the text, it dawned on me that he had lost sight of what he really needed because he didn't have what he wanted. Yeah, because what he needed was to be made whole, but because he didn't have what he wanted, he thought that he lost access to what he needed. And I think that that is something that we have to be willing to really dissect in our lives as we determine the path to success and wholeness and purpose and ultimately building the kingdom. Is, am I keeping God regulated to what I think I need in order for me to achieve what he said was down on the inside of me? This man who's laying by the pool thinks he needs another person to get it. The only way I can have access is if another person gives it to me. But what Jesus says in exchange is so beautiful, and we're going to get into that. But you can be so blinded by what you think you need that you don't even recognize that the presence is carrying the very thing you're asking for. Because he's standing in front of a man who could give him exactly what he ultimately wants, but because he thinks he needs it in a different package, he misses the opportunity altogether. God, help me. That's why we got to seek the kingdom. That's why we got to be in the presence, because when I'm in the presence, God really qualifies what I want. He qualifies what I need. If you can't bring it into the presence, then you got to leave it where you found it, because it's in the presence that I can determine whether or not this is legitimate. He goes, you don't really need someone to put you into the pool. You really want someone to do it. God, I'm going to read it the way I wrote it in my note, because I believe that so many of us lose sight of what we need. And when this text began, Jesus asked the man what seems like an obvious question, but the truth is when you lose sight of what you need, you don't always have an answer to the obvious question. Should I go? Should I stay? Should I take the job? Should I not take the job? Somewhere along the way, he lost sight of what he needed. And so Jesus comes to expand the picture to remind him. Oh, I feel that for somebody. Somebody needs to be reminded of what it is that you were really after when you came into this city. Somebody needs to be reminded of what it was really after when you got into that marriage, because when you get here, you can start discrediting your dream and you can start discrediting what you think you need. But God comes and he expands the picture so that he can remind you the whole reason why you're lying here in the first place is because you told me that you wanted to be made well. You didn't tell me that you needed a man. You didn't tell me that you needed $1 million. You got around a bunch of other sick people who were laying by the pool. And started thinking that the only way you could do it is if they could help you. But God came to told me, if no one else picks you up and takes you by this pool, if no one else sees the gift that I placed down on the inside of you, and all you do is have an encounter with me, that is more than enough. I hear God saying, you've been looking for love in all of the wrong places. I got everything you need standing right in front of you. Standing right in front of me. God, remind me why I got into this in the first place. God, remind me why I thought my art mattered in the first place. God, remind me why I thought this was my purpose in the first place. God, remind me why I dragged myself here and got this close. Didn't need anybody. I just wanted to be made whole. Man, that is when you can really trust that what you want and what you need can be trusted, is when it's what Jesus wants to. Yeah, because the man wanted to be made whole. Ultimately, that's what he wanted, but he thought he needed someone to do it. But when he has this encounter with Jesus, it reminds him to get back on the same page so that what I want and what Jesus wants can be the same thing. Sometimes I have to take a moment to myself and I have to ask myself, did you want that, or does you and Jesus want that? Because if you want it, then you can't ask God to bless it. But if it is what you and Jesus want, then no weapon formed against you prosper. And then every tongue that rises up against you, he will condemn, because me and Jesus want the same thing. When me and Jesus started wanting the same thing, my life started changing, because I was moving in the direction not of what I wanted, but what would build his kingdom. I showed myself trustworthy when I started doing that thing that he wanted too. So as I'm studying and I'm praying and I'm looking at this text, I realize how nuanced this situation is, because Jesus comes up to him, and a lot of the stories that we see in the Bible, we see someone calling out for Jesus to be made whole and to be healed, but Jesus approaches him. And he was waiting for a moment when the water would be stirred up. And he would have someone who would carry him. That means the water needed to be stirred up, and he needed someone to carry him at the same time. He was waiting for this moment when everything lined up. And while he was waiting for a moment, God brought a moment to him. It was such a sign to me that you think that it has to happen a certain way, but God says, when you're ready for the healing that I have for you, when what you want aligns with what I want, then I will bring the moment to you. I will bring the opportunity to you. I will bring the idea to you when it aligns with what I want to do in the earth. The moment is coming to you. The moment is coming to you. That's why you have to stay where you are. That's why you have to keep your heart posture correct. That's why you have to make sure that you're maintaining what you want. Because when the moment comes, you got to be able to identify that this is a moment. This is not just a regular encounter. This is an opportunity that could propel me into the next dimension of what God wants to do in my life. This moment is important because not only is it the moment in which the man will be made whole, but it's also the moment that is going to set up Jesus having a sermon with the Jews. So he couldn't just pick any regular person for this moment. He needed someone that would set it off. Yeah, he had a plan. He really wanted to make the Jews question what happened so that they would have an encounter with Jesus. So when Jesus has this moment with the man who's laying by the pool, he has the ultimate desire to give him what he wants so that he can get what he needs. Sometimes Jesus gives you what you want so that he can get you to where you need to be. Gotta say this the way I feel it. When I was studying, I was trying to understand what made this moment so powerful. Jesus needed something that would grab the Jews' attention. So he goes by this pool where there are a lot of sick people, and he has the intention of doing a miracle. But he couldn't just choose anybody. He needed someone who had something to carry as a sign of the miracle. Could have healed a blind man, but the blind man didn't have a bed to carry. He could have healed a deaf man, but the deaf man didn't have a bed to carry. He needed to heal the paralyzed man because this paralyzed man would then be walking around with this bed that he used to lie on. And if he was going to break the rule and bless him so that he could set something off in the city, he needed someone who he could bless that it would be so ridiculous and so crazy that the man who had been laying there for 38 years was now carrying the thing that he used to lay on. He needed someone who was going to set something off in the city. I can't just pick anybody for this miracle. If that's your word, I want you to grab it. God wants to do something down on the inside of you that he can't just use anybody for, because he's trying to set something off in this city. He's trying to set something off in this industry. He's trying to set something off that makes hell nervous. And I need to use somebody who's going to pick up something that they were laying on. I'm going to pick up that gift that I've been sleeping on. I'm going to pick up that business that I've been sleeping on. You've been telling me for years that it was time for me to get my life together, but now I had an encounter with you and I'm ready to pick up that very thing that I was laying on. He let that man sit there and he waited. And he waited, and he waited to be healed. But he had to wait for a long time so that when God spoke that word, when Jesus spoke that word and said, rise up and take your bed and walk, that he would not ask him any more questions. That man picked up that bed. He said, you don't have to tell me twice. I think that that's what God is still looking for in this season. I'm looking for somebody who I don't have to repeat myself, that when I say, rise up your bed and walk, that you'll carry that bed, that you'll carry that music, that you'll carry that business. Don't ask me any questions. I let you get desperate enough that you wouldn't ask me twice. You don't have to tell me twice. You don't have to tell me twice, because I've been sitting here waiting for other people to get healed. I've been sitting here waiting for somebody to carry me. I've been sitting here waiting for somebody to pick me up. And if you tell me that I can pick up this bed and walk, don't play with me, Jesus, because I will pick up this bed. I'll pick up this ministry. I'll pick up this marriage, and I'll walk with it like a sign that the very thing that used to hold He needed somebody who was tired of waiting. He needed somebody who was tired of watching everyone else get their breakthrough while they just sit down waiting on somebody to carry them. I'm sorry they couldn't carry you, but then again, I'm not sorry at the same time, because it made you desperate for a word from God. It made you desperate to pick up your bed and walk. My subject for tonight is carry it. Carry it. Carry it. Carry it. This is a prophetic word. This word isn't for everybody. This is a word for somebody that's been sitting on something that God told you to release a long time ago. I don't expect for everyone to get happy. I just need that person who's been lying on that gift, who's been lying on that bed. God, you told me when you sent me to this city that there was something in this city for me. I hear God saying it's time for you to carry that thing that I gave you. Because the timing is coming. The timing is coming. He had to do it on the Sabbath because it would break a rule. But he also did it on the Sabbath because the man would stand out on the Sabbath for carrying the bed. He wouldn't have stood out if he did it on Monday. He wouldn't have stood out if he did it on Tuesday. It would have looked weird, but he wouldn't have stood out. But God set the stage for him to stand out with that thing. God set the stage so that it would look ridiculous for him to be walking with this thing. He set the stage so that he could break the rules. He set the stage so that he could break the rule. I want you to know that I'm setting the stage right now. I'm just waiting on the Sabbath. I'm just waiting on the day that it doesn't make any sense for you to be healed, so that everyone can see that I broke the rules to get you that healing. I broke the rules to get you that breakthrough. Somebody in this room ought to be in jail. Somebody, don't play with me. I know who's in here. Somebody in this room ought to be dead and in their grave. But I broke the rules to get you here. Take up your bed. Take up your bed and walk. Take up that thing that you've been sitting on. That gift, that talent, that pursuit of wholeness. That breakup, that addiction, that something you've been sitting on that you need to be carrying. Because you've been waiting for somebody to see you. The man who was laying by the pool ultimately says, I'm waiting on somebody to see me. Because if somebody sees me, maybe they'll help me. Jesus said, if you see yourself right, if you see yourself the way that I see you, you wouldn't need anybody to see you. I'm going to say that again until it gets somebody in the back. If you see yourself the way I see you, you wouldn't need anybody else to see you. Because you would realize that me and you could partner and we could do some things in the earth. Jesus was getting ready to set Jerusalem on fire. And I know we're not in the Bible days, but this is important because we're at Activate LA. And I don't know who's watching. Maybe you're activating Chicago. Maybe you're activating Denver. But I came to let you know that Jesus is ready to set something off in the spirit realm again. And he's looking for somebody who he won't have to tell twice. He's looking for somebody who's not waiting for somebody to see them. They're just waiting for the word. I'm looking for a sound. I'm looking for the sound that says, take up your bed and walk. I think that's what tonight's message is supposed to be about. This is a sound for somebody. Maybe I should have called it sounding the alarm, because I wanted somebody to know that he's ready for you now, that he's ready for you to take up your bed and walk, that he's ready for you to start carrying a sign of his glory. Because that's what the lame man ends up carrying, is glory. The kind of glory you can only receive after you've been sitting somewhere paralyzed. Paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by anxiety. Paralyzed by abandonment issues. I've been paralyzed for too long. But if he would have been healed the way that he wanted to be healed, he wouldn't have been in position for Jesus to use him the way that he needed to use him to set that thing off in the city. So he let him wait. And he let him get desperate enough to try Jesus. I got to try something that I never thought that I would have to try, because I'm that desperate for my healing. I don't know who you are, but I wanted to let you know that you don't have to be paralyzed any longer. I wanted to let you know that you don't have to be stuck just because no one would carry you. That it's too much pressure to put on one person to be your friend and your savior. To be your lover and your savior. I'm sorry that you've been paralyzed by what happened to you. I'm not trying to be insensitive. But I just want you to know that just because no one sees that you're paralyzed doesn't mean that you cannot be healed from this paralysis. You can be healed from this. But you got to remember that it was never about someone carrying you, and it was always about whether or not you wanted to be made whole. You may never get that apology. They may never understand the damage that happened to you. They may never understand that you sat there and you waited for them to come fix what happened. But that's okay, because that doesn't mean that we're staying there. Because one encounter with God can expand your perspective. And it can make you realize that I didn't need you to carry me. And I didn't need someone to take me to the pool, that God would bring a miracle to me. For somebody, this is not just a Thursday night service. This is God bringing that word to them. I'll bring the moment to you. I wasn't searching for Jesus when I found him. I just opened my eyes and I realized that he was there. I wasn't searching for a ministry. I just opened my eyes and a ministry was there. I wasn't searching for anything. But I could not see what was there until I gave up this notion of someone carrying me. Someone fixing me. Someone making me feel better. Someone healing what was broken down on the inside of me. Someone giving me some attention. When I let that go and I said, maybe I'm enough by myself. When I let that go and I said, at the end of the day, I thought I needed a person, but what I really need more than anything is to be made whole. I just want to be made whole. But it takes you sitting there, paralyzed, watching the world move on around you, to make you finally say within yourself, I'll try Jesus. I'll try your way. I'll stop sitting on this thing, and I'll try to pick up my bed and walk. He got desperate. I don't know, man. This is not the structure that I wanted the message to have. But I really do feel that for somebody, that God wants to give you your legs back, that he wants to give you your creativity back. What does it mean to try Jesus? It means to think the highest thought. It means to believe that when he got on that cross, that he gave you another option. It means that there's really healing that is available to you. It means that I'm going to start acting the way that he acts instead of acting the way my circumstance made me act. I want to start a new path. I want to think differently. I'm tired of being depressed. Jesus, what would you say about this situation? Jesus, what would you say about this industry? I'm tired of being paralyzed. God, speak a word about my situation. I hear God saying, forgive. I hear God saying, you can still walk. But when you walk, I love this because it stands to reason. I think any doctor would agree that after being paralyzed for so long, his legs were probably too weak to stand up himself. But when he's told to stand up, he's also told to carry this bed, which means that God trusted the strength that he would have when he stood up, that it wouldn't just be him carrying himself, but that he could handle some weight. I feel that prophetically for somebody. When you get back up, you won't be stumbling. I feel the presence of God in this place.
Somebody thinks that they can walk again, but they're afraid to stumble. I want to prophesy in this room. When you get back up again, you will not stumble. I know it's been on again and off again, but that season is over. I rebuke the enemy and every thought that he's ever placed in your mind that made you think you'll always be who you used to be. I speak the blood of Jesus over your life. When he steps into a room, he closes doors that no man can open, and he opens doors that no man can shut. You're not just getting up again. I'ma put some weight on you. I'ma let you carry something. I'ma trust you with weight. I'ma trust you with influence. I'ma trust you with that marriage. I'ma trust you with that family. I'ma put some weight down on the inside of you. God sees you. He sees you. If you're here and you just have been paralyzed, you know you're gifted. You know you have purpose. You know that there's something bigger and better for you, but I'm paralyzed by fear. I'm paralyzed by failure. And I can't move. The moment I try to move, I get flooded with these thoughts and ideas that I'm not going to make it. Can you meet me down here at the altar? But don't just come. Bring your bed with you. Because when you come down to this altar, you're not going back the same way you went. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. This is a sign. I'm going to see a victory. Not going to be lost. Not going to be afraid. I prophesy this over my life. I'm making a declaration. I'm going to get my mind back. I'm going to get my strength back. I want my legs back. I want my confidence back. Yeah. So when the paralyzed man and Jesus came into alignment about what he really needed and what he really wanted, it gave space for that miracle to take place. I think that when we don't know the steps to how God's going to do something, that we just have to come into agreement that he's going to do it. So when we sing that song, that I'm going to see a victory, there's somebody who's thinking, well, I don't really know how that's going to happen because I don't really have the resources and I haven't had the job. We're not talking about the practical. We're not talking about the logistics of it. We're talking about what's going to happen when it's all said and done. Because I am a child of the Most High God. And when God set me down in this earth, it was not so that I can lose. So I come into agreement with what he says. I come into agreement with who he says I am. I'm going to see a victory in my marriage. I'm going to see a victory in my business. I don't know how he's going to do it, and it's none of my business.
Thank you.
Lord. Thank you, Lord. We know that the overcomer scripture is Romans 10:9. It states that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Again, Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I say this all the time, people of God. Excuse me. You don't have to know all 66 books of the Bible. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to graduate from theology school. As long as you have that relationship with God, that's what matters. Having that one-on-one relationship with just you and him and say, here I am, God, set in need of prayer. I can't do anything without you. I tried it my way, Lord, and it did not work. Now I surrender to you, and I guarantee he'll take care of the rest. Know that he loves you. He never left you. He's always been right there with you. Now you surrender your life to Christ, I say welcome. Now, it's not going to be easy. Let me tell you, you're going to go through some stuff. You're going to get hurt. People that you thought that was in your corner is not going to be truly in your corner. But I know a man that will never leave you nor forsake you, and his name is Jesus. Hold on to his loving hand, and I guarantee day by day we'll get better. Spend that one-on-one time with God. Talk to him like I'm talking to you. We'll listen. He's not aggressive. He's not going to force himself on you, but he's right there waiting just for you. I'm going to give you three keys since you surrender your life to Christ. One, get your Bible. Whether it's King James or NIV, find you a Bible. Two, find your church home. Whether you go in or online, if you go in, please still be safe. Sanitize your hand, wear a mask if you choose to, but be safe. You're welcome to join us at the Opera House International, Sundays at 11 o'clock at Saybridge Hotel in Houston, Texas, 1910 Sam Houston Parkway East, the Lone Star Room. And three, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is not only preaching the word, but they are living the word. This is very critical since you surrender your life to Christ. This is not a joke. If they're not preaching and walking the same thing, I'm telling you, that's not where you need to be. Give you the three keys again. Get your Bible, find your church home, and make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is preaching and walking the same thing. If you need encouragement, if you need someone to pray for you or pray with you, you can reach us at 832-519-7646. We are here. Also, if you need some blessed oil, text me. If you're in the Houston area, we will meet with you and give you the oil. If you're not, we would definitely mail it to you. Again, this is a no-judgment zone. I can't judge you, and Apostle's not trying to judge you. We're here to encourage, inspire, and uplift you. Also, I have a journal out, a 31-day journal. If you need it, text me, 832-519-7646. It's $10. It will help you, guide you in the right direction. You guys have a blessed and phenomenal day. Know that God loves you. Don't you ever forget that. If you want to sow into World Gospel Connection, you can at $WGC2020. $WGC2020. That's with Cash App. Know that we are here to encourage you. Keep fighting. Keep pushing through. Nobody asks you to be perfect. But all God wants is that one-on-one time with him. Fall back in love with him. If you're single, God will send who he wants you to be. Stop trying to pick your mate. You can't do that. Because look at it. You failed every time. But once you let God pick who he wants you to have, your life will be a whole lot smoother. You're going to have ups and downs now. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect. Yeah, look, I'm going to tell you the truth. But it will be what God chose for you. Remember the scripture said, many are called, but a few are chosen. And when you're chosen, that's when your fight is critical. Have a blessed, phenomenal day. Know that we love you. Keep pushing through and talk to you soon.
With all of my heart, yeah, with all of my heart, yes I will. And I won't leave to my
you know, that situation is too big for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't handle that. You know what you need to do? You need to turn it over to the Lord right now. You need to find you a secret place. Turn it into an altar. Get down.